You're listening to NFA Radio, and here's your host, Matt Baxendale.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
And welcome to the Friday, August 19th edition of National Football Authority Radio. I am your host, Matt Baxendale, a.k.a. Bax, and we are so pleased that you joined us here today. This has been the first week that we have split National Football Authority Radio into not one, but two podcasts. On Wednesday, you had the NFL Writers Roundtable. We brought on Russell Baxter and Robert Neely. Spent a good half hour discussing the biggest news this week in the NFL. It's going to be coming out midweek every week for the rest of the year, so you want to keep an eye out for it. But you know what? At heart, I'm a college football guy. And you know what? A lot of other people are, too. So this is going to be the college football time of week for the NFA Radio podcast. Towards the end of the week, Thursday or Friday, in this case, of course, Friday, we're going to be doing this the entire course of the season. So I really, really hope each and every one of you keep on tuning in. NFA Radio has been growing by leaps and bounds, along with NationalFootballAuthority.com, which has been one of the fastest-growing sites in sports internet news. And you know what? It's only going to keep getting better. So today's show, we've got a lot of college football news to talk about. Obviously, we're going to be bringing back NationalFootballAuthority.com's editor-in-chief for college football. He is Nate Custer. He will be joining me for our soon-to-be award-winning segment, Bax Nate on College Football. We got a lot to talk about. Unfortunately, it's not just talking about the games that are coming up on the field this fall, though we will talk about the Big 12 preview that came out this week on NationalFootballAuthority.com. Instead, we had the shocking news that broke late Tuesday night about the Miami Hurricanes. Yahoo Sports, with yet another immaculately researched expose. Just, it is an unbelievable situation. It plays out like a Lifetime movie. You know, there's a booster who is in prison for his part in a billion-dollar Ponzi scheme. This is a guy who donated so much money to the University of Miami, they named a players' lounge and the football facility after him. And he's on record with documentation showing that he provided over nearly a decade's worth of time. He provided nearly $1 million in benefits or more. And we're not talking about just handouts here. We're talking about prostitution. We're talking about paying recruits. We're talking about yachts. We're talking about strip clubs. We're even talking about an abortion from a stripper. This is beyond your typical $100 handshakes. This is beyond the usual outrage that you hear for situations that, compared to this, are minute. Put it this way. Miami is in a world of trouble, and I don't quite know what to do about it. Because, let's face it, Miami could be facing the harshest of penalties here. We'll get to that. We'll talk about that with Nate Custer when he comes on here in a few moments. But, as always, we start off every show the same way. So let's go off the top of my head.
Off the top of my head.
Alrighty. First topic off the top of my head this week is we're going to stick with this Miami story because you know what? Everybody says it's so unbelievable, that it's so widespread, that it's so audacious, that there's such a bad situation going on with this booster, Nevin Shapiro. But then you take a look back at the history of Miami Hurricane football, and it really shouldn't be that surprising. You know, the Miami teams that, when they rose to prominence in the 80s, were bankrolled by rapper Luther Campbell. In the 90s, the Miami Hurricanes were on, I think, 5 years worth of probation because they were involved in some Pell Grant scandal. They were still in probation for that, apparently, when Shapiro's reign of money-making and making it rain began in the early 2000s. So this is a program that, let's face it, has always been a rogue program. And you know what? Punishing them is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. Because let's face it, most of the kids who are on the team right now, now some of them obviously were part of it, most of them really had no idea what was going on. Head coach Al Golden, this is his first year at the University of Miami. And he came out the other day and said that he didn't even know that this was coming down the pipe. Meanwhile, you have a Miami administration led by President Donna Shalala, their former athletic director Paul D, who hilariously now is the guy who told USC during the Reggie Bush hearings that high-profile players require high-profile compliance. Well, Paul, when you were in charge of the University of Miami, you pretty much blew it. And it's not a surprise you left and ran off to Texas Tech like that. I guess you knew what was coming, man. I guess you didn't tell poor Al Golden about it. This is one of the best young head coaches in college football who's walking into an untenable situation. But how do you punish this program? How do you properly punish them? Because let's face it, if you give Miami, say, a five-year bowl ban, then you pretty much screw over a bunch of players who had nothing to do with this whole Shapiro situation. The guy's been in prison for a year now. On the flip side of the coin, though, if you just don't do anything about it at all, then Miami's going to be really not that worried about doing something again like this in the future and sends a terrible message to college football, especially when the presidents are talking about trying to clean things up. And you know what? This is probably the worst scandal we've seen since SMU got the death penalty. And I don't say that lightly. I don't want to be one of these people that just goes out and goes, oh my God, there's a violation. Give them the death penalty. All right, I'm not Mark May here. But you know what? This is a situation where if you want to punish the people who are responsible for this and you want to punish the university and hit them in the wallet, then maybe you give them the death penalty. Maybe you give them the death penalty and you let those players all transfer immediately to other schools. You give every senior on the team an extra year of eligibility so they don't lose any of their football career. And you know what? That may be the most equitable way to not punish the existing kids who haven't done anything wrong while giving Miami a horribly hard lesson. And you know what? It may sound harsh, and I'm sure Miami fans will absolutely flay me for saying it. My buddy John Michaels down at 790 The Zone in Atlanta will probably wring my neck the next time he sees me for even suggesting this. But you know, I have no reason to doubt Yahoo's reporting. And if that's the case, Miami, you're in a world of trouble.
Off the top of my head.
All right, well, speaking of Yahoo's reporting, I would like to give Charles Robinson a world of credit. Now, he's been saying for months that the Yahoo Sports folks have a big topic coming down the pipeline. If Jim Tressel on a scale of 1 to 10 was a 7, he has a 10 coming. And now, honestly, I was among probably everybody in the country who assumed that 10 was going to be the Auburn story, was going to be something to do with the Cam Newton payments finally coming to light. And instead, we see it's Miami. Now, unlike a story that came out earlier this year, done in Sports Illustrated by George Dorman, that was nothing but a hit piece against Ohio State and Jim Tressel, that didn't have any documentation, that didn't have any people on record, that pretty much just took hearsay and ran with it as fact. This story from Miami is completely loaded with documentation, with photographs, with extensive research that's been done. And I have to really give the Yahoo Sports guys a ton of credit for the way they've done this. Look, let's face it, folks. If Yahoo Sports is on your campus, be scared. Be very scared. And Charles Robinson said something that, to me, was one of the most refreshing things I've heard in sports journalism in a very, very long time. He said that Nevin Shapiro accused over 100 Miami players of taking benefits from him. However, they only had the documentation, photographs, and testimonies to accuse 72. That's right. They actually didn't run with a good 25% of their allegations. And to me, that's the most impressive thing you can say, is that, look, there's probably a lot more here that we just didn't have proof for it. And you know what? It's been so long since sports journalism, thanks to ESPN blurring the lines between commentary and coverage and broadcasting, it's been so long since we've actually had somebody who treats it like actual journalism that Yahoo Sports right now is the pinnacle, in my eyes, of college football coverage, because these guys, they are the best investigative journalism in sports, period. George Dorman, who I don't know how he won a Pulitzer Prize, George Dorman needs to learn a lesson from these guys, because George Dorman's story didn't have half the research, didn't have a tenth of the documentation or proof that these guys at Yahoo Sports just ran with, not only on this story, but on the Reggie Bush story. So in the end, I have to tip my hat to Yahoo Sports, and I have to again tell George Dorman that you have become a hack.
Off the top of my head.
All right, the last topic off the top of my head is what the implications are going to be for Miami this year on the field and the rest of the ACC at large. I thought it was just a week ago on this show that we talked about the ACC preview that came out at NationalFootballAuthority.com. And both myself and Nate Custer thought that Miami was a team that had a legitimate chance of winning 10 games and being a strong competitor in the Coastal Division. Well, right now, doesn't look so good. As many as 7 starters from Miami were accused by Nevin Shapiro in this Yahoo Sports report, some of them being some of their most important players. And I'm going to get to this with Nate Custer in a few moments here on Bax and Nate on college football. So stick around, because we're going to be talking about it a lot. But think about it this way. The ACC right now, coming into this season, had 3 teams that people thought were going to be top-of-the-line teams. Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Miami. We'll cross one of them off the list, folks, because let's face it, Al Golden had no idea this was coming. He has to scramble now and figure out how to work with a team that has a ton of suspended players, that's already was going through a major transition with a new coaching staff. And on top of that, I mean, who knows when Miami's going to get some of these guys back. Look what happened in North Carolina last year. About this time was when their whole agent scandal broke, when one of their coaches was actually funneling players to an agent. And North Carolina had to suspend half of their starting defense. They had to suspend, I think, 20-something kids over the course of the year. North Carolina was never really the same team. So Miami, if they're even eligible to go to a bowl game this year, they're going to be missing some of their best players, and that's going to really hurt them. The ACC folks, more so than ever right now, looks like a two-horse race between Virginia Tech and Florida State. And that, my friends, is off of the top of my head. But what that isn't is the end of the show. After all, we still got Nate Custer coming up for our soon-to-be award-winning segment of Bax and Nate on college football. So stick around. We'll be right back here on National Football 30 Radio with Nate Custer.
You're listening to National Football Authority Radio. NationalFootballAuthority.com. The shooting star of football coverage on the internet.
And welcome back to National Football Authority Radio. It is time now for our soon-to-be award-winning segment of Bax and Nate on college football. And as always, we're joined by Nate Custer. He is NationalFootballAuthority.com's college football editor-in-chief. Nate, how are you doing this fine evening?
Doing great. Doing a lot better than a lot of folks in Miami probably are right now, I can tell you that
much. Well, I guess if you're going to bring it up, we might as well jump right into it. The Yahoo Sports story that came out on Tuesday night, one of the biggest bombshells we've seen in college football, perhaps in my lifetime. I mean, this is the biggest story, I think, going back to SMU. Nate, what was your initial reaction reading this story, and just what are the even – remotely starting for repercussions that we even look at here, because this is such a huge, huge case?
Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of different people in the Miami area about what's happening to the U, and, you know, I think upon first learning about this whole thing with Miami, like, this is what they were talking about, that they've been doing a big investigation. This is the one we've been waiting to find out what it was. And it was like, oh, finally, we know who they were talking about. I never suspected that the U was the big program that was being investigated for so many months. No clue. And I think that is kind of a testament to show just how much they've been under the radar with all this. But when you have a guy like Nevin Shapiro, the guy's serving out a 20-year sentence for as a convicted Ponzi schemer. And when he's throwing out these wild accusations, like, I used to host sex parties for these guys. I was putting out bounties for Miami players to knock out a quarterback from the opposing team. I mean, all these bounties and stuff. I mean, you can't just look away from stuff like this. And then with all that's going on with the university president to the athletics director who just takes off in the middle of the night 6 months ago and takes a job in Texas Tech, and he's saying that I didn't know this was coming, I don't buy that for an instant. But I can tell you this, there are a lot of different thoughts on this whole thing in Miami. There's a lot of people saying, like, this isn't nearly as bad as SMU. These are all wild, outlandish accusations. Sure, maybe some football players were living like they were NFL stars and getting paid like UFL stars. That's actually Andy King told me that from the ticket in Miami for the radio station out there. He said that's essentially what they're doing, living like NFL stars, getting paid like UFL stars. So I thought that was pretty entertaining. And he was actually proud. He said that, you know, we're proud because this is the U. This is how we roll. It's all about the U, like Luther Campbell likes to say. So it's funny to watch how this whole thing is coming about. Some people are worried. Some people aren't. How you can't be worried when this kind of an accusation rolls out to the magnitude and how far-reaching this may be. And then also, how the hell does the NCAA not pick up on this? They have to wait. They're letting Yahoo do all their investigative work. I mean, they only have, like, what, under 40 people who actually investigate these types of things? Yet Yahoo, you know, one guy can go out there and get all this information. The NCAA is slipping bad to let these types of things go unnoticed.
You know, I think and the NCAA needs to send a big fruit basket to Dan Wetzel and Charles Robinson for doing all that work for them the last couple of years. But, you know, you touched on it there. Yahoo Sports has become the premier sports investigative journalism place, plain and simple.
I love it.
They're the ones who broke the Reggie Bush story. They're the ones who had the source that broke the news about Jim Tressel. They're the ones who busted this entire Miami story. We heard all summer, like you said, that there was a 10 on the horizon. There was a 10 on the horizon. Jim Tressel was a 7 or an 8. Most of us thought that 10 had to have been Auburn. Everybody thought, oh, it's got to be Auburn. It's got to be Cam
Oregon.
Newton. No.
Yeah,
or Oregon even. Yeah, you're right, with the $25,000 payment to Willie Lyles. Instead, we have
one of the most wide-ranging booster stories ever. I mean, this has Lifetime movie written all over it.
This stuff was going on in the luxury suites at the stadium, for God's sake. I mean, look at – he was living the dream. You know, apparently, from what I understand, Nevin Shapiro has a little bit of a Napoleon complex. He's like 5'5", I guess, and just loved being around the players. He was willing to bankroll the team, saying, I'll give you $1 million to bring in a new coach and all this stuff. I mean, the guy was living ridiculously. And this is how he rolled right there in front of him. And if the president didn't know, the former athletics director didn't know. I mean, you look back how far back. 2002 was when this was whole starting.
They were still
out.
On probation at that point from the stuff Larry that happened Coker before Butch still, Davis got there.
Yeah, Larry Coker was still there at that time. So there's a lot of people implicated in this thing. And apparently, from what's been said, is that Randy Shannon was like the only guy who tried to stand up and said, I don't want you involved with this program. You know, but he still suffered through his firing of what's, you know, what happened with his time there with the team. He's about the only person, apparently, that was trying to push Shapiro away.
Oh, yeah. And if you look at all this, the details in that story, first of all, I have no reason to doubt whatsoever from Yahoo. Unlike certain other investigations this offseason that have, you know, had questionable sources, off the record sources and little documentation. This has an unbelievable amount of proof behind these allegations, whether it comes to receipts, photographs, everything. And if you look at this, and there's a story saying that Shapiro stormed into the press box and cussed out the compliance director for not letting him be closer to the players. I mean, this is the guy who there's a picture of him standing with Miami's old basketball coach and the university president who's holding a $50,000 check and grinning like she just won the lottery. I mean, there's no way they didn't know about this. And you mentioned the athletic director, Paul D. Bolting. This is the same guy who was on the commission at USC who right now ironically said high-profile athletes require high-profile compliance. Well, this is about as high-profile and blatant as a scandal you'll ever see in college football. And it went down on their watch. And I tell you what, right now, if I don't think we'll ever see the death penalty again, but if there's ever been a case since SMU that may have deserved it, it's this case, because Miami, not only did they not care, there's stories in this article about assistant coaches actively bringing recruits to his mansion getting them paid. This is beyond
getting
ridiculous.
Them paid and laid. Let's be honest
paid,
about
laid,
it.
Paid, laid, and everything else
there
you
were
can imagine.
Prostitutes. There was weekends, wild weekend parties out on his yacht with prostitutes there and sex parties and all sorts of stuff. I mean, the amount of, you know, gifts that they were getting, it's not quite the same as it was at SMU, but it's getting pretty darn close.
This is so bad that the Minnesota Vikings from the Love Boat were embarrassed for Miami.
Yeah, I wonder if Randy Moss wants to get back to Minnesota for those types of parties.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But since this is so wide-ranging, it's kind of hard to speculate what's going to happen here and how much of this is officially proven, though I do want to give Yahoo Sports props again. Charles Robinson was quoted as saying that Shapiro actually accused over 100 Miami athletes, but they only had enough proof and documentation to feel comfortable to justify mentioning 72 players. And that kind of journalistic integrity is so bankrupt right now elsewhere in sports. That was really great to see. Credit to Yahoo Sports, because I don't have a doubt about anything in this article.
Well, and look at how much that could impact this season. I mean, hey, if anything else, you know, if one of those players that's implicated might be Jacory Harris, I don't know. They haven't come out with all of those implications, but I mean, there you go. So there's one of those, you know, that answers the question. There are a lot of people that don't like Jacory Harris as being the featured quarterback. Well, now he doesn't have to be necessarily if the NCAA acts swiftly.
Well, you know what, though? Here's the thing, Nate, is that they actually named 12 current Miami players in this article. And I'm going to tell you a couple of them right now. Starting safeties, Vaughn Telemark and Ray Armstrong were mentioned. Starting defensive lineman, Marcus Fortson and Olivier Vernon were mentioned. Starting linebacker, Sean Spence, who's probably would have been their leading tackler this year, was mentioned. Their leading returning wide receiver, Travis Benjamin, was mentioned. And Jacory Harris, who's obviously the starting quarterback.
Right.
Those are seven of their most important players. And we just said this last week here on NFA Radio, talking about the ACC preview. Miami's a team that could have won 10 games this year. But right now, to me, there seems like there's no way these guys are going to play, at least in the early going of the season, kind of like what we saw with UNC, where the second there was some question, they declared them ineligible and worked with the NCAA to figure out a proper suspension. You know, in the short term, do you think any of these guys are even going to play the first month of the year?
I don't see how Miami could get away with fielding them on the team if there's this much evidence against them. I would imagine that Miami has to say, we're going to take the high road since we've been living in the low road for so long, and we're just going to go and pull these guys, and we're going to start who we think is safe.
Yeah, at this point, too, Miami has to think we're so screwed. If we don't completely cooperate with the NCAA in this investigation, who knows what they're going to do to our program.
Here's my question to you, though. They're going to get sanctions. There's too much smoke to think there's no fire here. Something's going to be handed down. The NCAA is going to look absolutely awful if they don't just regulate hardcore here. And I know that Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, has come out and said some pretty stern words about this. But these problems they're facing, the sanctions they get will more than likely punish not the guys on the team just this year. It'll be far-reaching punishing beyond those guys. Guys who are coming in who haven't even gotten to play a down yet. It's going to punish the players who didn't do anything versus the ones who did. Do you think that that's the right way to go about things? Because I'm of the mindset where you look at, you know, money. Hit them in the wallet. Don't punish the players who didn't do anything and didn't have any impact with this. And I think the same thing for USC, anything that can be handed down for Ohio State or Auburn or Boise State or what have you. Any of these teams that are in trouble, Oregon, punish the people who knew about it and didn't do anything is what I say.
You know, you're right there. I mean, if you look at some of the situations where we've seen penalties handed down, for example, in USC's case, all these kids who have been sanctioned out of bowl games the last 2 years,
yeah,
down, Reggie Bush's parents were getting 100 grand houses.
It's not so their fault. Yeah.
No, it is. It isn't their fault, and you're absolutely right there. But here's the problem is that how do you sanction these guys who were gone from school? I mean, how do you set up a system? And the NFL showed a little bit of backbone with supporting the NCAA recently whenever they suspended Terrell Pryor for the first games of the season. But that's still such a tiny little slap on the wrist.
They didn't own up to it, though. I mean, they're saying it's because they didn't like how he handled his supplemental draft eligibility issues. BS.
Yeah.
That is not what it was. And let's be real about it.
I'll tell you this in this case, though, Nate, is that since this was $1 billion Ponzi scheme money that was all this stuff handed out, some of the lawyers have already come out as part of the people who lost money in this Ponzi scheme and said that they're going to try to recoup every single dollar that they can that was given out in gifts. So you may see a lot of these kids that took money, for example, the University of Miami, who took hundreds of thousands of dollars from Nevin Shapiro, they're going to ask for all that to be repaid. So maybe in this rare instance, you may actually see them get hit in the wallet.
I'd like to see the university get hit in the wallet because there's no question in my mind they knew what was going on. Maybe not the full extent, but they knew who Nevin Shapiro was and how he rolled.
They named a lounge after him in the football facility. There's no way they didn't know what was going on here. Miami's in a world of trouble. And you know, here's the other thing, though, is that if you really want to hurt the university, this goes back to saying, well, what happens if you hit them with the death penalty? All those players are free to transfer and go elsewhere to school. It doesn't affect their ability to play football because, you know, every single person on the University of Miami's roster is going to be wanted by half the other schools in the rest of the country.
Oh, yeah. It's the U.
It's the U. They bring in a ton of talent, even when they've been mediocre the last couple of years. So, you know, maybe that's really what they're going to look at and say is that the University of Miami knew this. Bang, there goes your program. I mean, I don't know if I want to see that, but maybe this is the third time in 25 years that Miami has had major sanctions and scandals like this. The Pell Grants with Luther Campbell. I mean, to me, Miami's been a rogue program, and I don't think that's ever going to change. So,
well, if ever there were time to enact the death penalty, I think this is one that qualifies. That's my opinion. Nothing against the University of Miami. I do enjoy the level of talent they have. These players, they recruit well. I get that. But at the same time, I hate the fact this is going to affect Al Golden, too. This is one hell of a mess he's walked into.
I mean, he was saying that he wasn't told about it whenever he was interviewing for the job. I mean, to me, that seems like it's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Yeah.
See, because Golden's one of the best young coaches in college football.
Yeah, now he's going to suffer this.
Yeah, he's absolutely going to suffer, and it's a damn shame, really, because that's the guy who rebuilt Temple, which is, let's face it, frankly, impossible. But, all right, well, enough of this off-field stuff, Nate. We got one more small thing I want to hit with you before we let you go here. And then this week, very small. It's just the Big 12. Those were the conference
previews. Do they still exist?
They have a season coming up this year. Whether they exist next year, we'll wait and see. Maybe, or if they exist next year with Tulsa and Houston in the conference instead of Texas A&M and Texas, we'll have to see. But those conference previews dropped this week on nationalfootballauthority.com, and I had a fair hand in writing them. I'll have to be a little honest here. But the Big 12 this year I think is going to be a very interesting league to watch play out because, in my opinion, it's pretty top-heavy. What are your kind of just general observations this year on the Big 12, and who do you think is the pick to win it?
Well, the hands down pick, and I'm not going to shock anyone with this one, is Oklahoma. The Sooners are just too stacked with talent. I know, shocking, earth-shattering revelations here, but at the same time, you look at Landry Jones. I mean, how do you not get excited about a quarterback who is just as consistent as he is, has that just strong ability to manage the game, and he has one heck of an arm. So I like Landry Jones in this position. Ryan Broyles coming back into the mix too, not opting for the NFL. This is a great scoring offense that is going to be a juggernaut in this conference. And you're absolutely right. They are top heavy. The first top of the conference there is all strong, talented teams. And the bottom part, wow, it almost starts to remind me of the Mountain West. You know, I mean, when you look at a few strong teams and the rest of it doesn't look that impressive, that can be said for it. Now, is it the exact same? Probably not. You're seeing a little bit more talent because it is, let's be real, it's an AQ conference. It's the Big 12. But what strikes me about this is some of the quarterbacks in this conference. You know, you look at guys who are on teams who typically underperform but are starting to get a little more attention, a team like Baylor. I mean, when I watched him a few years ago, Robert Griffin III, their quarterback there, I was super impressed with him. And I was like, gosh, who is that guy? Now he's got a Heisman. Yeah, he's got a Heisman campaign going on. RG3. It's like a new character for a Star Wars movie, but they're calling him RG3. But now he's out here, and he is worthy of Heisman attention. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. But I do like Oklahoma to win this conference. I also think Texas is going to be much improved. What strikes me the most about this conference is the fact that you now have a round-robin schedule, and you very much pointed this out in your previews of the conference because that's important. Teams from the North, now the traditional Big 12 North, now have to play all of the South. The South has been so heavy for so long, now they have to play them all. So the teams that were underperforming before, like let's say Kansas, and Kansas State hasn't been that great in the last few years. So now you look at them and think they have to play all of the big heavies, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Texas A&M, ouch.
Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, and the flip side of the coin here too, you're talking about those South teams that have faced the murderer's row that has been the Big 12 South division.
Right.
All of a sudden, they get a couple more breaks against the likes of Kansas and Iowa State. So that's going to be interesting too. But I agree with you. Oklahoma is not only my pick to win the Big 12, they're my pick to win the national championship this year.
As well. Yeah,
and you know what? They're probably the most complete team in college football. They had 16 starters coming back. And another thing about them, too, is they have a couple of their key games that are at home in Norman this year. They haven't lost in Norman since 2005. That's a long, long time since they lost a home game.
Owen Field is a place they don't lose that much. And I remember the shock when TCU
opening
just,
day.
Yeah. When that happened several years ago, people were shocked.
That was quite the stunner. And, that's the thing, though, with Oklahoma is that it's been since 2005, when Adrian Peterson, I believe, was only a sophomore, since they actually lost a game at home. So, you know, some of these games that they have at home, for example, Texas A&M, I'm not going to pick against Oklahoma. That's like picking against Boise State on the blue turf. It's a poor decision based upon history. Oklahoma's not the only good team in this conference. Like you mentioned with Texas, they're going to be better. They're too talented to be a 5-7 team. Texas is going to spring back to their historical norm, though I don't think they're going to maybe win 10 or 11 games, but they're probably a 9-win team. The two teams I think are the biggest competitors with Oklahoma are Oklahoma State and Texas A&M. Both those two teams are bringing back very strong offenses. They're piloted by good quarterbacks. They got some great receivers. And, oh, by the way, both those teams are better on defense than people give them credit for. I think Texas A&M is probably the number one challenger to Oklahoma. I mean, Ryan Tannehill absolutely lit the place up last year down the stretch when he stepped into the starting lineup. A&M looked like a top five team last year with him in the lineup. So A&M could be a surprise. I just don't see anybody beating Oklahoma in the conference this year. The only game I think they're most vulnerable is when they go to Florida State, and even then I'm picking the Sooners. Sooners, I think, are going undefeated this year, and they have the added motivation of losing one of the best players on their team, one of the team leaders in Austin Box, who tragically passed away from an unfortunate mix of alcohol and painkillers this offseason. And, you know, whenever you have a team that is talented rallying around an emotional point like that, I honestly think that there's nobody who's going to touch the Sooners this year. I know they have a bad history in BCS games, but they won one last year. So, you know what, Oklahoma, especially in a year in the Big 12, where, let's face it, they have to win, what, two or three games in conference this year, and that's pretty much it. There's no championship game to trip them up.
They're done.
It's that simple.
I'm with you.
All righty. Well, there you have it. I think we're both in complete agreement now. The Oklahoma Sooners are the pick to win the Big 12. They're my pick to win the national title. I don't know if you're on board with me on that one, but they're a good football team. So check out the previews at nationalfootballauthority.com. And next week, we've got not one, not two, but three conferences coming down. We got the new Pac-12 coming down start of the week. We got the Big Ten coming out in the middle of the week. And, of course, we got the conference that's had the last five national championships, the SEC, down at the end of the week. And after that, Nate, it's on to game week. Game week.
I can't wait.
2 weeks. Oh, I am so pumped up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Nate Custer. I am Matt Baxendale. Keep it locked here at National Football Authority Radio. Nate, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll be right back.
Better grab an umbrella, I make it right, I make it right. I'm in this with terror. Got a head full of snacks. Better grab an umbrella, I make it right, I make it right. Make it rain on them holes, I make it right, I make it right. I make it rain on them holes, I make it right.
We just got done listening to Nate Custer here joining us on National Football Authority Radio. And you know what? There's a lot of previews coming out this week on NationalFootballAuthority.com, so I'm going to show them one more time. If you're a Pac-12 fan, we have a great preview coming out on Monday. We're going to be talking about both divisions. We're going to talk about who the heck's going to win the Pac-12 South this year. I mean, let's face it, USC would have been the favorite, but since they're ineligible to play in a bowl game, they're also ineligible to play in the conference title game. And another thing about the Pac-12, by the way, I know they got this whole new thing where the team with the best record hosts the conference championship game. But if somebody explained to me why the heck they're not playing the title game in Las Vegas. Look, UNLV is a 50,000-seat stadium there. It's right next to the Strip. It's geographically centrally located. To me, Vegas for the Pac-12 title game makes sense in the short term, in the long term, and in the fun term. So that needs to happen, just as a heads up. Anyways, back to the previews. We have the Big Ten previews coming up as well next week. And I write for Bucknuts.com. It's the number one Ohio State site on the internet. I have a Big Ten degree hanging on my wall. I may be slightly biased here towards my Buckeyes, and I know Nate and I are going to debate about which team really is going to win the Big Ten this year, but I stand by the fact that I think everybody is completely writing off Ohio State when they're still one of the most talented teams in the country. So that's definitely worth checking out, not just the previews for the conference, which now includes Nebraska, by the way, but also don't forget to check out our National Football Authority radio segment next week where Nate and I debate the Big Ten. And, of course, we're going to close things out with the Southeastern Conference. They've had the last five national champions. They've generally been considered the best conference in college football the last few years. Will that trend continue this year? Well, you're going to have to read the articles to find out, so you won't want to miss it. All right, well, before we conclude this episode of National Football Authority Radio, I got one thing left, and that is my final word. And let's face it, the topic that is overwhelmingly taking everybody's attention here in the world of college football is the story of the Miami Hurricanes and their impending downfall. And you know what? College football needs to have some changes done, period. Look, Donna Shalala is their president. She was quoted 2 weeks ago saying, I follow compliance left and right. You know, the truth of the matter is that she hasn't. You know, the same goes for a former athletic director, Paul D. He was the one who castigated USC for not paying enough attention to what Reggie Bush's parents were doing in San Diego. And then he turned around and this happened on his watch. The truth of the matter is that we heard people all offseason talking about people not really caring to know what's going on, specifically involving Jim Tressel, looking the other way, turning the other cheek. Well, that's not an Ohio State issue. That's not even a Miami issue. That's a college football issue. You can pretend that things aren't going on behind the scenes. And frankly, that's the best survival mechanism for coaches and administrators is to not dig too deep. Because if you want to win football games, things like this is going to happen. If you're going to bring in recruits, they're 18-year-old kids. They're going to go to the place they enjoyed the most. They're not going to think about what's best for their future in a long-term sense. The simple fact of the matter is that I would be stunned if every major college football program, if everything was laid bare, if you didn't have issues like this going on. All right, and honestly, it's not even every good football program. I bet you everybody from Auburn to Alabama to Ohio State to Miami to USC to any team, all the way down to the likes of New Mexico or the likes of Kent State or Akron, those teams have illegal benefits going on left and right. So in the end,
The NCAA really needs to reform their rules. I don't know if paying players is the solution, but you know what? The current system as it is untenable, and until they change it, you're going to have something like this happen every year. And with the advent of the internet, with the advent of cell phone cameras, people are going to get caught more and more frequently. You know what? Until things change, things are going to stay the same. And that is the final word. Alrighty, folks. Well, that is all we've got today. I'd like to give a big thanks to Nate Custer for joining us on the show. And as always, going forward, this is one of two episodes of National Football Authority Radio that you're going to be having every week here on the podcast. So make sure you check back next week for our NFL Writers Roundtable. It's going to be on Wednesday. And then, of course, at the end of the week, you have NFA Radio where we're talking college football. So don't miss out. So thank you all very much for tuning in. Have a great night, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Been traveling to Muslim town.